start of John's Gospel in chapter 19. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. They asked, "Who are you?" This question, "Who are you?" is not an uncommon question. The mystery man is a common character in fairy stories and novels and plays and films. For instance, in The Man in the Iron Mask, a novel by Alexander Dumas, it's based on historical facts. And the character in that story never takes his mask off. His identity is never revealed. Or in J.B. Priestley's play, An Inspector Calls, or Nikolai Gogol's play, The Government Inspector, nobody's quite sure who the inspector is. Similarly, the Scarlet Pimpernel is a master of disguise so that no one really recognizes him. And for those of you who love a bit of Disney at this time of year, well, the Beast in Beauty and the Beast is eventually found to be a prince in disguise. And like the frog in the other fairy tale, the prince is only waiting to receive the love of a princess to be revealed in his full glory. In these and so many other stories about mystery men, people are whispering there in the background, "Who is he? Can you recognize him? Who could he possibly be?" Well, our two readings this morning from Isaiah and from the Gospel of John tell us about two different mystery men, both who bring transforming power to their present and to our future. We're presented with John the Baptist in John's Gospel, and then in the prophet Isaiah with the Anointed One who speaks through the voice of Isaiah. The historical context for the Isaiah passage is the end of the Babylonian exile, the year 538 BC, and the return of the people to a devastated Jerusalem. And Isaiah returns with them and promises the people a reversal of fortunes. He brings good news that God, a God who loves justice, God will vindicate his people before the nations who have oppressed them. In the reading we shared this morning from Isaiah 61, no one really introduces the Anointed One. Rather, he speaks for himself, demanding our attention, and quite unselfconsciously, without arrogance, he speaks with tremendous authority. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The Lord has anointed me. He has sent me." This mystery man speaks about himself and his God-given ministry. He's someone of quite extraordinary importance. And when we think of the rest of the writing and the prophecy of Isaiah, we realize that we have met this mystery man before. He is both the servant of whom Isaiah speaks in chapters 40 to 55, and he is the Messiah. We discover him in chapters 1 to 35. For, and this we must take notice of, for these are one and the same person. This Anointed One who speaks in Isaiah 61 is both the servant and the Messiah. And this is a great theological breakthrough of Isaiah's vision. This is the heart of Isaiah's gospel, his good news. And Isaiah tells us that the Messiah must suffer and rise again. Well, the theme of this Anointed One's testimony is transformation. He is endowed with the Spirit and with the Word. He proclaims favor and vengeance. And in fact, the work of the Lord God, about which we read in the earlier chapters of Isaiah, is now clearly transferred to the person of this Anointed One, who remains, at least in the prophecy of Isaiah, a mysterious figure. A figure who takes on the person, the character of the Lord God himself. Now this Anointed One, we read in Isaiah 61, was to stay shrouded in mystery for hundreds of years, until the appearance of another man of mystery. When we read in the Gospels, we discover that John the Baptist was a bit of a mystery man. He appeared suddenly in the wilderness. Nobody really knew where he'd come from. They weren't certain about his origins. And John spoke like the Old Testament prophets. But everyone thought that that way of speaking had long since passed. John came proclaiming a challenging message, telling people that this was the time to make a fresh start. He challenged them with his words, with his lifestyle. In effect, he said to them, don't rely on having been born a Jew. Repent, which means change your attitude. Be baptized, he said, which really means begin your life again as a child in the family of God. And then John warned them about a coming judgment, and he told them to make up their minds before it was too late. Who was he? Who gave John the Baptist the authority to say such things? Who is this mystery man? What precedents was he following? Well, Jewish people at that time knew their Old Testament. They believed that everything that happened in their day must have been predicted in the Hebrew Scriptures. And they thought of three precedents which this mystery man, John, might be following. Firstly, he could be the Messiah who had been predicted for so long. Or secondly, he might be Elijah, their great prophet, come back from the dead. Or thirdly, he might be the prophet. Now, the word Messiah means anointed. Kings were anointed at their coronation. But the kings of Israel and Judah had been a big, big disappointment. And so the people began to hope for the anointed one, the Messiah, the one of whom Isaiah speaks in chapter 61. The ideal king, the one who would come and free them from all foreign rulers. So who was John? Was that who he was, the Messiah? Malachi, the last prophet in the Old Testament, had said, lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. So the people wondered, had Elijah come back in the disguise of John the Baptist? Or was John the prophet mentioned in Deuteronomy, where Moses promised, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you shall heed such a prophet. The way they would recognize the true prophet when he came was that what he predicted would come true. So was this the precedent they were looking for? Who are you, they asked. Are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you the perfect prophet? And to each of these questions, John gave an emphatic no. In the days when possessions travelled really at walking pace, a king visiting part of his territory would send someone running ahead to tell the people that he was coming. That person was called the forerunner. Get ready, he'd cry. The king is coming. The king is coming. He's only about an hour's travel behind me. And everyone would scurry to get ready to welcome their king. Well, John the Baptist said he was a forerunner for Jesus. Jesus is coming, he cried out. Get ready. I'm just a voice telling you to get ready. Hurry up. There's not much time before Jesus comes. So that's who the mystery man was. He's John the Baptist, the forerunner. And when that revelation dawns on the people, the focus switches from John almost immediately to Jesus. In two of the other Gospels, Matthew 11 and Luke 7, John, who at that time was in prison, sent his disciples to Jesus to ask if he was the one who was to come. And as is his habit, Jesus doesn't give a straight answer, but he quotes Scripture. He quotes from Isaiah 29:35, and the passage we've read this morning from chapter 61. These are passages which describe the messianic age of the Anointed One, when freedom and health and prosperity would be restored to Israel. And Jesus doesn't at this point explicitly say to John's disciples that he is the Messiah. But that is the clear implication of his use of the words of the prophet Isaiah. There is no other understanding. He is the one for whom John has prepared the way. You could almost say that John could die happy now in the knowledge that his mission had been fulfilled. And John certainly was soon to die. It's little wonder that Jesus took up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah in that tiny little synagogue in Nazareth right at the start of his ministry. And he rolled the scroll open to the point where we read today, our chapter 61. And he read the same passage we began with this morning. Jesus had been designated the Messiah before his birth. The angels announced that he was coming as Savior. And in his baptism, in his temptation, he had chosen the path of servanthood and suffering. He knew that Isaiah's vision of the mysterious, suffering, anointed one, the Messiah, was to be fulfilled in him. Indeed, it had already begun to be fulfilled that very morning he read from the scroll of Isaiah. Well, we think on these things, these two mysterious characters, as they point towards Jesus. And then we think about the lights and the decorations of Christmas, all the other things we involve ourselves with, and perhaps we've got it all wrong about Christmas. It's only a week and a bit away, and what have we done to get ready? We've shopped until we've dropped. At least those who've gone to Woolies have done that. We've bought expensive presents and decorations. Perhaps we've bought more food and drink than is good for us. But of course, if we believe that the Son of God came down to earth at Christmas to give his life to save us, then we really do have something to celebrate. And perhaps giving gifts to other people and perhaps feasting with them is a good way to do it. But with that goes the spiritual preparation. What's John the Baptist saying to you and me this morning? Well, John is saying the same thing that he said to the Jewish people so long ago. Make a fresh start. Repent. Don't rely on having been born into a Christian family. Repent and change your attitude. Begin your life again as a child in the family of God. Make up your mind before it's too late. My friends, that's how to really get ready for Christmas. If we know the reality of Jesus in our lives, then Christmas won't just happen around us this year, but it will happen within us. As we rejoice and as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the Anointed One, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. These two readings this morning call us to rejoice on this Gaudete Sunday in God's faithfulness. They call us to live with joy and to participate in God's reign through acts of faithful living, to know and to be good news, to let our light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.